Good evening, everybody. It is Tuesday, August 4th. A beautiful Tuesday to you guys after a nice storm in the morning. I am here tonight with George Fismas. George, how are you?
I feel like you chose the bottom dollar for a reason here. I'm ready to be your punching bag for the remainder of the hour here.
Well, we'll see how it goes. First off, I'm happy to be talking baseball, period. I look skeptical at times, as we've covered in past podcasts, but happy that we finally got the season underway. And I know, obviously, you haven't seen too many Philly games because of what's happened with COVID, but let's start right there with the actual major leagues. What have you seen so far? What have you noticed?
Well, first of all, there's nothing better in the world than being able to watch the network from the time I get home from work until the time I wake up in the morning to go to work again and just watch constant baseball. So that's, there is nothing that tops that. Especially when you've been deprived of it for as long as we have,
right.
it's that first and foremost, that's the most important thing. What do I think of the league? Well, I think the Florida Marlins are a bunch of dopes. I think the commissioner is not doing a great job of handling this, and I'm not sure what's driving decision making here for canceling games and canceling road trips and 15 players testing positive. To what consequence? I mean, these guys don't have symptoms. They're not getting hospitalized. Nobody's dying. Their family members aren't getting sick. There's not been any proof relating to baseball specifically that these guys are putting themselves or their families in danger at this moment. Now, that could change, but for the Phillies to get postponed 9 days. After losing two to the Miami Marlins, who were down 15 COVID guys, and then to have to come back at Yankee Stadium and play Gerrit Cole is beyond me.
Right.
How that makes sense to anybody, but we got baseball back, so.
Yeah, I mean, from what Joe Girardi said, I really appreciated his point of view on it. He said they're just rolling with the punches now. He believes in his team. He gave the company line. It is definitely a difficult situation. Obviously, we've never had this before. Obviously, I believe there had to be protocols in place, whether they are the right protocols, whether they, in hindsight, will turn out to be different than what would have been right in the first place. This, again, it's the first time going through it. I really can't put too much on any of the commissioner or anybody that's at fault here. I mean, the players, yes. If it's found out that, like, the Cardinals were rumored to be at a casino, or the Marlins were at a strip club, or that maybe that was Lou Williams, or whatever the case may be, if these guys weren't doing everything in their power to make sure that they got to where they had to be and stayed as clean as possible and out of everybody's way to make sure that baseball was played, a full 60-game slate, which again was obviously cut short in the first place, now they're going to feel the consequences of it, whether it's going to be missing out on money because they're not playing a full slate of games or whatever the case comes down to be. You're seeing teams that were not at fault, such as the Phillies, such as the Tigers, who got a four-game series wiped out this week with the Cardinals. They're just feeling the benefits of it, too. So hopefully everybody gets back in shape and ready to go and serious about this thing so that we don't have any more stoppages. We don't want to see any more teams miss out. Obviously, some teams, I think the Phillies have to play 57 games in the next 56 days. So that's tough enough. Yes, these guys are major leaguers. Yes, they're getting paid oodles of money. It doesn't matter. It's a tough situation that they're thrown into. And again, like you, I am more than happy to oblige them. I want them to all be well and be safe and healthy, their families as well. But most importantly to me, baseball is back on the field. And again, I'm with you there. Obviously, the network has not left my TV. I think the bottom line is getting burned into my TV like it's one of those old screens back in the day. But also, obviously, happy to have fantasy back. Happy that we're underway.
Yes, it's been a joy.
I'm really excited. One hand, I've talked to several guys in our league and just in general. Some people are ecstatic about the shortened season. It does make for a lot more importance on a week-by-week basis. Doesn't really leave you out as early as normal. You're in it with a couple good weeks, a couple good days. As we've seen so far. Right now, I believe most teams have played somewhere in the 10-11 game vicinity, so that's one-sixth of the way through the season already. And as you can see in our standings, changing daily, categories very close. What's your take on the league so far? Did you look forward to the fantasy league being shortened, or were you one of those guys that were kind of falling away from it?
well, of course, I look forward to fantasy because I just love that baseball is back, and I didn't know what my perception was going to be of the league. You know, obviously, coming in the first 11 days were far less than ideal for the sectors. But when you look at endings and you look at some of the other teams, to like think, you know, maybe if I move a couple guys here and, you know, reposition some guys, will it make a world of difference? And what is going to get lost in the season is the concept of mean reversion. You know, a guy like Christian Yelich, sure, he had a two-hit night last night, but he's still batting under 100. If that goes on for another 10 games, his season is going to, the quality of his season will be compromised by this first, you know, 30%, 40% of the season.
Right.
So it's a weird thing you're going to have to do, where you're going to have these guys that are maybe middling type guys, or guys that are poised for a breakout, that are going to go on a, you know, 20, 30 game streak of playing really great baseball, and they're going to be MVP candidates, you know, halfway through the year. So the concept of mean reversion for the best players that didn't come out of the gates firing, it puts the manager on the spot, because what are you going to do? Like Eugenio Suarez, batting 83. What are you supposed to do with that? You can't cut the guy. He's a keeper. He's a guy that hit 40 home runs last year. He's on a good team. He's on a good hitting lineup. How much time do you give to compete? So, or put him on the bench or do something, or you just take the loss and just start poisoning for keepers in 2 weeks. I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, you look at the rosters, you look at the stats, and you got, you know, I firmly believe you gotta stick by it for at least another week. Or 2 weeks in some cases. Like, look at Sawyer's team. He's all Phillies. They haven't played baseball.
Right.
They played 4 games. So, it's a weird, weird balance. And, like, when we're looking to make trades, or when you're looking to pick people up or drop people, the concept around of how you're going to manage that is going to be completely jacked up by this shortened season. So it'll be interesting to see how guys play. It'll be interesting to see how the league moves around on a daily basis, because in a normal year, you start to see guys really start to, you know, take their pole position and then really find their spot in the standings 60 games in. Well, 60 games in is the end of the season here, so it's very odd.
Yeah, I mean, as far as fantasy is concerned, well, let's say this. As far as MLB is concerned, I was listening to a game the other day. They said that the 4-game losing streak that the team was on, it's pretty much time multiplied by 2.7, 2.8 with the shortened season. So that's like an 11, almost 12-game losing streak in a full season, a normal season. So let's extrapolate that out to fantasy as well. I mean, obviously, it's not exactly the same, because you're not going to do that for the stats over the course of the year, because it's just 60 games. They're just playing a straight sprint. So for the fantasy ramifications, what I find interesting are, one, I thought there would already be some trades. Two, you made point to it, the free agents, or how many people are picking up guys, how many roles are changing already, how one injury maybe puts a guy in the back burner, or maybe you cut him because of that. I mean, there's a lot of things that are different now. And I think it's fun. Looking at the remaining budget for everybody, I see that a lot of people still have over $30. 7 teams still have, 6 teams still have over $30. But a lot of people have been active on the waiver wire, and injuries play a part into that. Mike Soroka went down last night. This COVID stuff is definitely playing into people's IL. I've already been hit by it. I know several people have. Joey Votto has made his way back as of last night. He hit a home run last night. But several people have hit the IL, and, you know, they're out a couple days, 2 positive tests, and then hopefully back. But it sets guys back, no doubt. And it's too short of a season to have that kind of setback.
The Phillies, I think, you know, just to bring it back to the MLB as opposed to fantasy for a moment, I think the Phillies are rooting for as many hurricanes and virus breakouts, to have as many 7-inning doubleheaders, to avoid having to put in Junior Guerra again into a game. So, there's a theory behind that. Tomorrow they get Nolan Wheeler going, and you're playing the Yankees club. It's a good club, but bringing it back to fantasy and decisions, right? Like, if you're somebody that has the time and the capacity to really dive deep into matchups and look at, you know, pitcher-hitter matchups and you can really work the waiver wire, your middling guys that you would give time to play out, like, you know, in my case, the Cesar Hernandez types guys, the you know, somebody that's been streaky but you think has potential, like a Jock Peterson, where I wouldn't ever think of doing anything with a guy like that, just holding him on the roster. I'm sure there's going to come a point at some time this season where I'm going to have to look at a guy like a Jock Peterson and say, well, look, the matchup tonight for a guy like Matt Kemp is far more advantageous than what Jock Peterson's got, and I need a home run tonight, so I got to pick up Matt Kemp. I really think you're going to see a lot of, like, these tactical jockeying moves take place throughout, especially as we get towards, like, the 20 and 30 game mark.
Right, yeah, that has to be. I mean, it's much more in that aspect, like a daily fantasy that people doing on DraftKings and all that, but you have to really look for every advantage in this shortened season. So with that, let's get right to the rankings right away. In first place, as we stand tonight, Mark Strange. There's always next year. He's currently racking in at about 92 points. Again, a guy that's been active on the waiver wire. He's Mike Trout went down with having a baby, so congratulations to him. He'll be back playing Seattle tonight, I'm sure, as he always does. He'll kill the Mariners, probably a home run or two. Speaking of, Mark has the Mariner right now, Kyle Lewis, who is on an absolute tear, already putting his foot up for Rookie of the Year right now. His numbers are outstanding. But he has been active. He picked up Kyle Seager, picked up David Fletcher. He's been very active on the waiver wire. And again, to his point and his strength, he is tuned into all that stuff. He pays close attention to it. He's made some bullpen moves, and it's paid off early in the season.
Let me ask you this. When you look at his in a normal year, and I know that's an awful way to start any conversation in this environment, but in a normal year, would you look at his roster and say, that's a first-place roster?
As of right now, I don't think so.
You're looking at the batting averages, you know what it is? At the, you know, the production.
No, I mean, but again, he's what he did. He, you know, as we all do, we draft, you pick a team, and you make early moves to pick up on hot hitters and stuff, and it's that much more emphasized and important in this season. But, you know, to go along with that, he did have Justin Verlander hit the IL. Ken Giles has been on the IL since the start. He's still got some guys in reserves that he hasn't called up, like Frankie Montas having a good year, but he's been able to put it together, piece it together. And so far, like I said, paying off.
Totally. No, I think it's his credit. I think, you know, he's one of the guys, you know, that has figured out that you got to be tactical in a shortened season, and you can't rest on your laurels of, like, oh, Christian Yelich is the best player in baseball. Well, it's a 60-game season. If he's batting under 100 in 10 days, which you hope that's not the case, you really got to think about putting them on the bench for a little bit and putting somebody else there that can get production, because you can't sacrifice another five games of a guy with no production.
Right.
So it's as somebody that's played more of the passive manager, like, let's see how things play out with this, with the roster construction here. You know, I'm looking at Christian Yelich batting 97, Gregory Polanco batting 71, Encarnacion batting 179, Eugenio Suarez batting 86, and Gary Sanchez batting 80. I mean, those are guys that are largely guys that you would expect to bat 220, 230, big home run production, and in Christian Yelich's case, you know, bat from close to 300, that you're getting CJ Cron, 172, no production.
Right.
And you give them, you know, in some cases, guys have played five games, some 10 or 11 games. But now I'm at a position this morning where I'm looking at a roster, like, I got to start cutting guys, dropping guys, benching guys, moving things around, because you can't wait. Like, you know, the best batting average in the league right now is what, 260, 265?
Right.
It's not blowing the doors off.
Yeah, it's still early in the season, obviously. 1/6 of the way through, though. So it's gonna get late early, as they say. But
it's gonna get late early.
To your point, you cannot sit around and let slumps go. You know, you have to be proactive, not reactive, in this shortened season. So I think, again, that's why we've seen such every morning you wake up to the email with the league moves, and we get a lot of moves going. So another guy who's been active and it's paid dividends for him, Mr. Mayrose, in the top half of the league once again to start the year. I hope this year that he sticks it out and plays around and maybe even places, hopefully not ahead of me, but it does look like he has the team to do it. I love this draft. Wilson Contreras, Miguel Sano, Kevin Biggio, Nolan Arenado. These guys really, for the most part, have not got it going. Contreras is a nice year so far, but a lot of his guys on his team, he, like I said before, he had Joey Votto already out on the IL. Mookie Betts out, a little injury the other day, hopefully nothing too serious. But everybody else, they're clicking on all cylinders right now. David Dahl is having a good year. Lourdes Gurriel and Trent Grisham is the new Superman out in San Diego. And then his pitching, obviously.
Look at this lineup. Look, yeah. The guys that you named initially that are the guys that you would expect to have really good years to be sort of the mules of his lineup. Contreras playing well. Contreras, Sano, Biggio, Nolan Arenado. He's got Votto on the line, right? He's got Votto on the lineup, and you look at the guys that he's getting the most production out of, and it's David Dahl, Trent Grisham, who else is on this list? Well, he's got Mookie Betts, who's a beast. We don't got to talk about Mookie.
Right.
I look at his lineup, I look at his team, and I see today, as it stands in a 60-game season, he's getting production out of his middle-level guys. He's going to get better production. He's getting decent production out of his high-level guys that could go significantly higher. And you go down to his pitching, he's got some depth there. He's been working the waiver wire a bit on some of his pitchers. But this is a roster that I really like. I don't know if it's just because I love the guy that I want to root for him, but it's a great lineup. It's a great team. I love this team.
Yeah, and he has had to deal with, Thor went down in the offseason right after our draft. Rich Hill now on the IL, who had an unbelievable outing his last time out, looked great. Mike Clevenger came back from an injury. Thank God for the extra time for him. But other than that, he's had to pick and choose who he wanted to go after on the waiver wire. And so far, done a great job. So hence the 81.5 points right now. And hopefully, like I said, sticks in the top half of the league. He always starts off hot. And then, to his credit, what he says is that he still hasn't figured out the league. I think he has. I think he's especially gives him an advantage knowing baseball, knowing how to maneuver through something like this kind of situation that we're in. And I think he'll be better off for it this year. But I definitely think now he understands how the league goes, the trades go, things of that nature, and he's going to be ahead of the game this year and going forward.
Let me ask you a question, Joseph, since you're next in the order here of operations and with the third-place team, the left field loonies. You're getting good production out of Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield's numbers right now, aside from him maybe batting .300,
right,
are where I would expect Whit Merrifield to be. Now you have Devers, Machado,
right,
Howie Kendrick, Matt Olson.
Not one guy.
Those are four big name guys, right?
Right, yeah.
What do you do in 10 days if Matt Olson is still batting .150?
I still have to have faith. I don't have many options. I'm already down to $19 on my free agency. I drafted Matt Olson with full confidence that he was going to be an MVP candidate in a full season, so. Off to a slow start here, obviously. Same, you forgot Ronald Acuna. He just hit a home run two nights ago, so he's finally getting going now against the Mets. Hopefully that continues going forward. But, I just got to stick it out. My whole strategy this year was to go heavy on hitting, which is why I'm doing pretty well in the offensive categories. Thank God Nelson Cruz is pretty much Aaron Judge minus a couple home runs. But Hunter Dozier, I was banking on a big year. He's still on the IL. He's not going to be around for another couple weeks. But everybody's made up for it for those guys that haven't pretty much had a pulse all season. Rafael Devers hit finally a home run and showed up to a game the other night. So Howie Kendrick took a couple days off. I made that trade with Mr. Mayrose for Robbie Ray. I needed offense. He's going to be batting third for Washington, back in the lineup tonight. I'll need a lot of production out of him going forward, but that was the middle infield spot I didn't feel comfortable with, so I had to make that trade. And as far as my pitching, again, I kept Berrios for now. Nathan Eovaldi, all these guys I've sent out in trade offers and things like that. Aaron Civale. And as I mentioned on some of my previous podcasts, my strategy was to go reliever heavy. I was going to punt strikeouts and wins this season and try to nail all the offensive categories and try to nail ERA, whip, and saves. And sure enough, my ERA and whip, I'm pretty low in every category. Saves, I'm up top, thank goodness. Wins right now, pretty much in the middle. And my offense is doing pretty well, so that was expected. But now, again, with this shortened season, we're already 1/6 of the way through. Now I have to kind of change course and maybe consider going after wins and get the points there wherever I can, and stick my nose in that race as well. So we'll see how it continues to go, but I'm pretty happy with my team so far. Obviously, always looking to make moves. If you're interested in trading Christian Yelich, give me a call after this, and we'll continue to talk. But speaking of no posts, let's hop right down to the Fizz boys at the bottom of the league. Let's jump around a little bit.
Look at how you frame that. Fizz boys at the bottom of the league.
Nice little
it's
segue.
Doing that.
Nice segue.
Doing that.
First, we'll go down to Disney's favorite character, Yanni Fizz, the Yankees. Currently at 57 points. I think he was a little lower than that last time I checked. But Jan, I don't know if he's paying attention while he's in Orlando or what the case is, but pretty good
pickups today.
Yeah, pretty good team. Off to a slow start though.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got it's the situation that I just laid out to you. I mean, look, Vlad Guerrero batting 172. This is a guy that Yanni had a lot of faith in. Anthony Rizzo's shown up. You know, he's batting 219, but he's got 3 home runs, so he's not playing Anthony Rizzo like baseball right now at 219, but he's giving you some production.
Right.
Moustakas, 263, 2 home runs. He's getting production there, so that's fine with I'm fine with that. Castellanos is a beast.
Castellanos right now is the NL MVP. He's been on fire the past week. Just
on fire. Yanni is not getting any production from his lower level guys from what I'm seeing here, unless you feel any differently. You know, I look at Alex Smith in the lineup. He's got
I made reference to that.
Calhoun in the lineup.
He picked up Danny Jansen
in the lineup. He's got Vlad Guerrero in the lineup, and he's got Will Smith in the lineup. All batting below 200. Right. I mean, this is not just a Yanni issue. This is a lot of teams.
Of course, yeah, and Tim Anderson on the IL. But Yanni, you know, I thought he had a very well constructed team this year. Kevin Newman at shortstop, I don't have any faith in. I don't think Yanni was planning to go that route, obviously, before Tim Anderson hit the shelf. But he was pitching heavy. And so far, I mean, Shane Bieber is otherworldly. Danelson Lamet, I'm a big fan of. Blake Snell didn't have such a great outing the first time. Chapman, we have not seen throw yet. And Craig Kimbrell is pretty much MIA for the past couple of years. And now he's even got bounced out of that closer role for the foreseeable future, it looks like, in Chicago. Money aside, I think they're pretty much done with him because he doesn't have the velocity, he doesn't have anything that he used to have. And he picked up Zach Plesac, who was cut for some reason, but had another great outing yesterday. And Luis Castillo, one of the better pitchers in the National League, if not all.
Yeah, he's really good, but you know, again, it's so early and the season so short that 5 starts can make a difference.
Right. And now down to your team. Like I said, speaking of not having a pulse, I did notice that you drafted one of my favorite pitchers of all time, the best pitcher of the last decade, Clayton Kershaw, for $24, $26, and didn't start him on Saturday.
Yeah, because I look at Kershaw coming back from his first game of injury, and he gets absolutely hammered usually in the first 3 innings. So I said, all right, we're going to make a tactical move here and see if that pays off, and it blew up in my face. So, just a reflection of the situation that the defectors are in and why they are bottom dwellers.
Now, were you thinking anything to the effect of innings limits or anything like that? Has that ever crossed your mind at all this season?
Yeah, it has crossed my mind, and it's a reason why I was going to bench Arrieta last night and said, all right, his first game back, he had a good spring. I think he's a good, I think he's a serviceable pitcher that I don't think he can get the win, I think he can help me in some stat categories. And they pulled him too early, and it hurt his ERA. He was in rhythm, and you fall victim to a circumstance of him giving up a leadoff home run. I'd be lying if I told you I had any feel for how I was going to approach the first 10 games of the season, and it's reflected in the performance of the team. Mark, you, Mr. Mayrose, Yanni, to an extent, even though his teams have not really performed, you know, as the teams that we've talked about, have at least shown at least some sort of a propensity to have a game plan, where I'm openly admitting that I have not been able to come into one, whereas, you know, my daily routine of managing this roster, and I, you know, unfortunately, I don't have time to wait, and I got to start positioning this team to win. But let's go through my roster. I mean,
you nailed it right off the top. Christian Yelich, that's all you got to say. He's still batting 097. CJ Cron, who I like, I know a couple people liked, he's batting 172. We weren't drafting him for an average anyway, but he's still giving you a little bit of production out of the middle of the Tigers lineup. I love the lineup. Edwin Encarnacion is a guy that should hit 260, 280 on a good year, especially on a shortened year, maybe. Give you
I'd
the
be
power.
Happy with 250.
Anything bad as weight, hopefully that would be great. Marcus Semien, who had a few votes for AL MVP last year, is batting 204. With no steals so far. You don't have many steals at all. I think one steal on the year. Jose Abreu, same thing. He's showing up for that White Sox lineup. But Lindor is pretty much the only offense the Indians have. So he hasn't provided as much as you may need with a crowded lineup, such as the White Sox, such as the Yankees, things like that. And you made reference to it before, Eugenio Suarez, 086. Not going to do much there. Hopefully he gets back on the train quickly. But
Gary Sanchez, 080.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez, I mean, who...
Gregory Polanco, 071.
And you don't even notice Gary Sanchez because the Yankees are pummeling people.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I get, you know, Gary Sanchez isn't a big-time average hitter anyway. But, you know, my best player on this team right now, who is my best player, Joe?
I mean, you always have to say Christian Yelich.
No, I'm talking through
the first couple games here. Looks like when did you pick up Lourie Garcia?
Yeah, Lourie Garcia picked up last week.
Yeah, so that's probably, he's batting 364 right now. Mike Yastrzemski, he's having...
Mike Yastrzemski, yeah. And Lourie Garcia.
Right.
On a team with Christian Yelich, Francisco Lindor, Eugenio Suarez, Jose Abreu, and Gary Sanchez.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, like I said, it's magnified that much more because of this shortened season, so... we'll see where it goes. Other surprises, I'm surprised to see Danny down at the bottom of the standings here. He's had a rough go at it to start. A couple of starters went down, not having great games, I should say. They didn't go down. Joe Musgrove just got roughed up again today. Giolito didn't have the hottest outing. He'll be going tonight, though. So a lot of things just haven't worked out for him going forward, but I have full faith in him that hopefully his offense will come back to life. Donaldson's got to get back from injury sooner than later. It's the same story, same church, different pew. That's pretty much what it comes down to with all these teams on the bottom, and same at the top.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, he's got Danny's played by the same things. You know, Danny, notoriously a good manager, pays close attention to the league, pays close attention to his team. Obviously locked in with the baseball season and what's going on a nightly basis. And, you know, we just said it. You know, on a team with Christian Yelich and Francisco Lindor, the two best, most productive players right now out there are Mike Yastrzemski and Lourie Garcia.
Right.
So, look, I do believe there is going to be some mean reversion in the next week as players get into a rhythm and the league starts to sort of get a feel for testing and navigating the virus. And you hope to see a guy like Christian Yelich and these good players on good teams actually start to do something. I mean, Jose Altuve batting 158.
Right.
You know, you're gonna see a lot of movement in this league in terms of point production, and I think it's gonna be to the benefit of some of the guys that are bottom dwellers that are gonna have a steady hand. Now, I want to pose a question to you, Joe.
Go ahead.
As a manager that has been in this league from day one, that has had has won multiple trophies, right? Multiple? Am I right in saying
three?
That
is the most in the league's history. Yes.
Okay, yes. That's navigated this league and has never dealt with anything like this before. Now, you're at 78.5 points. say you're right within that range of 65 to 75 points in 2 weeks' time. But in that scenario, Matt Olson's batting 150, Devers is batting 200, Machado's batting 210, and Acuna's batting 230. Because that's where you're at right now.
Right.
You're in the 78.5 range with those guys doing that. Are you going to maintain a steady hand with all those guys with that lack of production if there are guys out there on the waiver wire, you know, the likes of, you say Lourdes Garcia because they just picked him up, that are giving real production to a team?
You know what? It's obviously something to think about. There are certain guys that are on, you know, you're not cutting Ronald Acuna.
I didn't say just, cut, but,
yeah,
you
but
get the bench
even,
for a little.
Even the bench.
Right.
I have to think that I'd have faith in a guy, Ronald Acuna, Rafael Devers, certain guys that, you know, I'll bank on their next 2 weeks being better than their last 2 weeks, 10 times out of 10. You know, if what bothers me is that a guy, I saw Dave picked up Colin Moran, who right now is second in the league in home runs. That's great. Colin Moran was a highly touted prospect when he got traded to the Pirates. He's the only offense on the Pirates right now, and if that continues, one, is he going to hit another 5 home runs in the next week? And two, has he ever hit 10 home runs in a full season, let alone in a shortened season? So, I mean, is his next 2 weeks going to be as good as his first two? I'm going to bank absolutely not, which is why I didn't pick him up. Certain guys that you are picking up are going to be hopeful replacements in a save situation. I've done plenty of that, scouring the waiver wire for relief pitchers. But, I mean, like I said, my take on this whole thing has been now shortened season. It's a sprint. Make quick decisions, hope for the best, and let the chips fall where they may. And so far, I mean, like I said, 2 weeks from now, if I have the 2 weeks that you just had, guess what? We're going to be tied next week and in 2 weeks. And then we're all going to be in the middle of the pack once more. So it makes it that much more interesting and fun to me. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. Especially what I'm interested in seeing is now that James has announced we move the trade deadline to August 31st. I'm interested to see how many trades go down. Are people going to be willing?
That's what I was gonna ask you.
Yeah, are people going
to
be willing to move?
Next question to you.
Right. I don't know. I really don't know the answer. I'm interested. I'll think about it between now and then, obviously. And I'm always trying to improve my team. I've sent out multiple trades offers. None have gone through yet, but hopefully, as always. But we'll see. What do you think?
I don't know. You know, I was thinking about it today. I was looking at it, and I was talking to, you know, a couple guys in the league about roster construction. And, like, I can't look at my team right now and say anything other than, like, a guy that I would trade is somebody like Lourdes Garcia or Mike Yastrzemski, because I say, look, these guys are having great production right now, and we're, you know, you're 10 games into a 68-game season. And let's see if I can get something for him. And then the guy on the other end of that trade is going to say, well, Mike Yastrzemski is not worth, you know, Ronald Acuna, even though Ronald Acuna is batting 220.
Right.
And, you know, that's a bad example because of his value for keeper value. But say he was actually went at market price.
Sure.
But it's you're going to see a lot of those offers come through. You know, I think the good managers will be able to look, you know, in the example of my team, at a guy like Encarnacion, and say, this is a guy that has a track record of getting it together. As long as he stays healthy, he can hit the ball. He's a professional hitter by every stretch. And maybe I can trade a lowly guy and get rid of him by roster that's got steals and give George steals, and I'll take Encarnacion with the hope that he picks it up.
Right.
I think you're going to see the good managers try and scratch value from the basket. But my guess is that you're either going to see a crazy, obscene amount of trades get pushed through in, like, you know, the final 2 days, and they're going to be all over the map. Or I think you're going to see, you know, this is what my base case is that you're not going to see a ton of big deal trades.
Yeah, and I also wanted to get your opinion on calling up from the minor leagues. Now that we have the commissioner's ruling that he's going to allow everyone to keep their farm system, because I don't even think the MLB has come out with a ruling on if they're going to be able to keep rookie status. Usually there's an at-bat or an innings
pitch. Spencer Howard will be down there for another 2 years, so it doesn't matter for the Phillies.
Right. Well, any of the top prospects, are you considering calling him up? Obviously, it's going to be a concern where you are in the standings, I'd assume.
Look, for me, yeah. You know, if any of those guys start at the stage I'm at now, at 38.5 points, if I start to see production from any one of those guys, absolutely, I'm calling them up. I'm not in a position like Mark, who's got, you know, I believe he's got Luis Robert on his bench, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you're Mark, would you call him up right now?
Absolutely not.
No way.
I'd trade him to Joe Maresco, Mark, if you listen.
Yeah. So, that's... And if I'm Mark, what I'm looking to do is I'm looking to move Gavin Lux and Luis Robert to make my lineup even better. Maybe get another guy that'll fill in to my minor league system to make up for those two big guys. But maybe I can go assure myself I'm going to win the league without touching my current roster.
Yeah, I'm with
He's
you.
He's in the driver's seat
right now. At 2 weeks in, or almost 2 weeks in, full slate of games, and we'll see where it goes from here. Well, George, I heard your phone ringing before. I'm sure it's somebody on the hotline trying to get one of your players. So I'll let you go. I always appreciate you joining here. We will get back on in probably another week or two and, you know, reassess the situation here and go forward and talk about that. It is early. Still a lot of time to go. But any last comments from you, George?
Good luck to the squad. I love doing this. I'm happy to have baseball back. I want to get the dialogue going within the group more so. I want to see a lot of action. I want to see a lot of trades. I want to see crazy movement in the rosters every day, and I want everybody to be locked in from now until the end of the season. So, you know, that's my wish for the league. And as somebody with 38.5 points sitting at the bottom, I give my word. I give my promise, my oath to this league, that I will not take my foot off the gas, that I will not stop looking just because I am at the bottom of the league. So, if that's a message of encouragement to anybody, I hope that makes the rest of us feel positive about the state of our league.
I absolutely appreciate that as a fellow competitor and a member of this league. So, and always appreciate you coming on. Thank you for your time. Everyone out there, please stay safe, stay healthy, and continue to watch baseball from your couch and don't go out. All right, guys, you stay well. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks, George.
Later, bud.